Good morning. Do you understand me? Okay. I thank Pastor Charles, my dear pastor, for this opportunity today to share the word of God. Just, I give you the verse for Colossians 1:15. You read it, or you know it. I want to speak about the gratitude. Paul said, be thankful, or be grateful. Gratitude is an attitude that God, our Father, recommends because it reflects his character. In Hebrews 6:10, it is said that God is not unrighteous to forget your work and service that have made for the saints. In other words, God is grateful. It is not in vain that we serve the Lord. John 12:26. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor him. God is grateful. That is why he commands us through the Holy Spirit to manifest the spirit of gratitude. Being saved from eternal perdition should make us continually grateful. Personally, today, I am grateful to this church. Knowing the God of all grace has changed my whole life. I want to honor this morning my pastor, Charles. In Ivory Coast, to honor a great leader, we will wear a traditional costume. That's why I have this bag. So, I would like to call my beloved pastor to come and receive this garment, leader of Cote d'Ivoire. Thank you so much.
Now, please stand. Great. And just say to your neighbor, God is glorified through Jesus Christ. He really is. He really is. Yes. Turn to John chapter 17, please. John 17. We are going to look at four words in this text from verse 11 to verse 26 this morning. And I'll give you those four words at the beginning and relate them to our lives and what God is doing here in our hearts. As we have gathered together in the name of Christ and really put our trust in him, that the Holy Spirit will minister to us today and also this week. Pastor Conant from the Ivory Coast has really expressed great leadership through the years with Pastor Shabelli in difficult times in West Africa. It seems that difficult times happen everywhere. Unfortunately, in South Carolina, there was this murder of 9 people, very tragic. And yesterday I heard on my iPhone some of the victims' families speaking to the murderer. And one of the ladies said they were all very gracious Christians with a lot of pain. And one woman said, I hurt in every fiber of my body for what you have done to my family. But my mother taught me there is no place for hatred in our lives. I forgive you. When I heard that little clip, I wept for a moment and I thought of the Bible verses and these precious people who in time of trial and pain are able to manifest and express the nature of God. And I have a lot of respect for those people. We are also learning. We have a lot to learn, and we have also our gracious Heavenly Father who is teaching us. I would like to share these thoughts today with this in mind. So I'll ask you to just read one verse, and then I'll have you seated. John 17, verse 11. Would you read it with me? And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Father, bless this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. The four words that we're going to read, keep. The second word is sanctify. The third word is unity or united. We are united in Christ. And then the fourth word is glory. This prayer is after the Last Supper of Christ in John chapter 14, 15, and 16. And then he goes by himself and he prays. We know little about where exactly he was when he said this prayer, but it was a prayer that the Holy Spirit recorded for us, because Christ knew he was doing something that was extraordinary, that was spiritual, that was mystical, and the average person doesn't see this. Many times people, even many, many believers, cannot see beyond the moral. They cannot see beyond the circumstances. They cannot see beyond their own failure or personality or their conditions. This morning at the 9 o'clock service, Bob Colben told a story about a man, Leonard, who came into his service, and when they started to sing, that he ran out of the service. And Pastor Bob Colban at 101 Montford told the song leader, sing another song, and he ran out after the man. They ran down the street. He met him sitting on the porch on the street, and he said, Leonard, what's the problem? And the man said, I don't deserve to be there. I don't deserve to be in the church. I shouldn't be there. That's why I ran away. Pastor Colban said this is normal for us. We have a convention here this week, and there have been people that have come to it for years, and then they stop coming, and then maybe they don't ever come again. But we would like to give a shout out. Everybody is welcome. Come. Don't let anything stop you. Come after Christ. Come in faith, because God has a desire, and he has the power, and he has the means to do the extraordinary. These words are proof. When Jesus said, "Keep them, Father," and I believe it's seven times, "Keep them, Father, keep them." What is he saying? But that we are dumb, we are blind, we are funny, we are sometimes weird. You have three straight weeks of awesome living, and in the fourth week, you are weird. Our feelings, our moods, our fears, our unbelief, our guilt, we run away. I don't belong there. So true. But Jesus, this is the point, but Jesus said this prayer. But Jesus said to the Father, "You keep them, and I will lose none. I'll not lose one sheep. Yes, they may go astray, but I will never lose them. Yes, they'll lie down in sorrow in Isaiah 50, but I will never lose them because you will keep them. And I pay the price by my shed blood to cover their sin, and I am crucified so that they can have a new life in me and be sanctified." This is word number two here. Keep them, and then you, Father, sanctify them. Now, there's something about these four words that I want you to see that is very important. And I think maybe the best way is to draw that diagram that many of us here at the church are very familiar with. And it is this classical Greek idea that comes from Plato in one of his writings called The Republic, about the cave and the shadows on the wall. Some of you know that story, that teaching in detail. But to abbreviate it in principle and use this as a understanding of this world, not based on Plato, but based on what Romans 1, 20 and 21 say. And it says this, that the visible things are the evidence of the invisible things. Could we repeat that? The visible things are the evidence of the invisible things. Let me repeat it. The visible things, a potato that goes in the ground. You cut it in half or quarters and pieces, and you put it in the dirt, and out comes a green bush. Well, that is incredible. A man and a woman in marriage come together, two cells, the egg cell and the sperm cell, and divides 20 billion times, and somehow in there the organism knows, now we must make liver cells, now we must make bone cells, now we must make kidney cells, now we must make brain cells. How do you figure that out? The visible things is the evidence of the invisible. Hallelujah. It is speaking to us of God. This is important. So in a diagram, we draw it this way, like a house. The universe is like a house, and there's that part of the house that we see and that part of the house that we do not see. We call it the upper floor of the house. The visible and the invisible, the temporal and the eternal. Well, here we are in the first level of the house, and unfortunately, this is as far as many of us live. We only live in the temporal. We only talk about the temporal. We only think about the temporal. What are some of the things that are temporal that we talk about and think about? But our food. What else? Our food. What else? Our food. What else? Our politics, time and space, games, hobbies, activities, children, our age, our wrinkles, our vitamins, our health, our doctors, our dentists, our bankers, our bookkeepers. This is life for the average person. But then there is the day when the teaching of Christ speaks to me. I had a time with my barber yesterday, and he said, we always talk about life and about the spiritual things on my end, and he's listening, and he's interested. And he said, one thing I can't stand is when rich people who have all this wealth never give it away. And I said, it can disturb us. But have you ever thought that the man that steals $1 million is the same as the man who steals $1? And he's like thinking about it. A politician, another problem he has, politicians that lie. Ah, I hate that. I said, isn't it interesting? A politician could lie to a whole country, and then I could lie to my wife. And what's the difference? He lies to 1 million, I lie to 1. What's the difference? Correct? What's the difference between a man drowning in the Pacific Ocean or drowning in the bathtub? It's the same. You see, people don't realize how wrong they are, how wrong I am, how small my world is. What I need is what Jesus said in this prayer here. This is really what he's shooting for, what he expects that God the Father will do for us. You see, in this world, this one here, we are already in trouble, and we know it, that we have lied and cheated, and so we try to improve. But where improvement can only make it only so far. It cannot take us to the next level of the house. There's no way by your good behavior you could make it to heaven. There's no way by your good intentions that you could find God. God must find you. God must save you. And once being saved, you are kept by who? God keeps you. Jesus said, Father, they're so dumb, they could never keep themselves. Father, they're just so proud and blind and messed up and confused and emotional. I've been with these guys for 3 years, and I just know there's no way. You must keep them, and you must sanctify them. You must send the Holy Spirit into their lives. Do you hear that? It must be that the Holy Spirit must come into my life. And that's the third person of the Trinity. Where is he coming from? Well, he is, of course, in our diagram, he's transcending the physical world, but he's also beyond all. He is the builder of the house. He is the eternal reality behind all things. And by the way, if there is somebody that doesn't search for it, think about it, or relate to it, then he's just blinding himself to the real issues here. oh, yeah, he builds his little system and he lives very neatly and very capably in his little world. You know? Oh, there is no God. There's nothing more. Okay, fine. Are you sure? Once I said to an atheist, I sit in my coffee in the morning in my back porch having a coffee and thinking about God. And then I also wonder, maybe there is no God. And I said, yeah, that's a possibility. And by some way of thinking, I know there are many people that think that way, but I know and I believe and I'm very strong in my faith and so on. And I said, now you're an atheist. Do you ever have your coffee on the back porch and thinking there is no God? And then suddenly the thought comes to you, maybe there is God. You must have that thought, don't you, as an atheist, that maybe there is God. What do you do with that? What do you do about that? You only have your world like so, but I would advise you to say in your heart before God and say, if you are there, I am here, I am available, I will believe you, even if it hurts me. I want the truth. I want the truth. Even if it hurts me and it upsets my life and it disturbs me, because, sisters and brothers, listen, I hope that God would not leave me in this little fish tank. I hope that God would break through into my world and reveal to me that which I really need to know, because one day we will face him. And we are accountable to him for our thinking and our living. And it says that the people in the book of Revelation outside the city are the unbelieving and the fearful. Why do some people go to hell? Because they have lived their life in fear. They are fearful. They don't dare leave their small world and their small thinking. But you and I have been honest enough in some way, maybe I could rephrase that the Holy Spirit has been faithful to us to guide and lead us in understanding that I must believe and trust in Jesus Christ. Because of that, then, we are kept. Now notice, I cannot keep myself here on the first floor. I can't even keep my car keys, not to mention my salvation. I cannot keep my things in order, my things together, not to mention my soul. I have problems of all kinds like we do as people. But this is the amazing message of the gospel. And it is that Christ came to do the work so that we would find security, that God would keep us, that God would protect us in a spiritual way and one day present us before him in glory. What is it? What are these four words? Look it up at our diagram. Down, one. He keeps us. He sanctifies us. He gives us unity. And then we are glorified with the same glory that Christ had in heaven. What is the point of the arrows coming down? But it is what God the Father does. All of it is what God the Father does. What God the Father is doing this week in our convention, when we are gathered in his name and God the Father has sent the Holy Spirit, that we would be sanctified. There's an amazing meaning in that. It's like if I could take something here, and this is just a common eyeglass case. I don't know whose it is, but I take this, and I take it from all the other pieces, and I set it apart, and I put it in some special place somewhere. And this is the this is what Christ said to the Father. Father, they are in the world, but separate them. That they would not be just like the way the world is, the spirit of the world, the mind of the world, and they would not be in their small world on the first floor of the house here. Just like in a very troubled state of mind, but they would be set apart for you. For you, you would be glorified by the fact that they are different. One teenager had a talk with his dad, and he said, "I don't want to go. I don't want to be doing this." And the father said, "You have no choice. You are different." And the teenager said, "I don't want to be different." And the father said, "It's too late. You're different." I don't want to be different. And a teenager may say that, and we understand the things they go through and how those ideas are easily part of it. I don't want to. Well, adults say it. I want to be like everyone else. Everyone is talking this way. Everybody's thinking this way. It's like, I don't want to have a small, blind little world here, you know? I want God to penetrate into our world and show us how we are different. I want to be different, actually. I have been with the group. I have been there. I have vomited in the night with them. I have lied with them. I have been untruthful and dishonest with them. I have pursued their dreams too. I have followed in their ways. I have already been there and I have done that. But it's a small world, and it's also a painful one. But Christ came and said to the Father before he went to the cross, because he knew what that cross would do to us. He knew, "Father, you sent me, I do the work, now you are going to do this for these people. You will keep them because of my cross. You will sanctify them because of my cross. They will be united because of my cross. And they will be glorified because of my cross. I will do the heavy lifting, and then you will manifest in time." And we're 2,000 years down the road. And here we are tonight with another, today, with another spirit and another mind. And in our diagram, it goes like this. God became a man and lived in the first floor. At the same time, he was in heaven. He was with his Father. His mind was God's mind. His emotion was God's emotion. His decision was God's decisions. His obedience was God on the earth. And what did he show us? He said, "Don't be afraid. I am God, and I came into the world, and I am a man. And I am here, and I have power over the sea, and over the wind, and over the demons, and even over death. Do you see me?" And we say, "No, Lord, I only see the grave." And Christ says, "Lazarus, come forth." And out he comes. And then Jesus could say, "Do you see me now? Do you see?" Yes, Lord. When we read the Gospels, we see God in man. But that's not enough, God. I got to see God in us. I want to see God in us. And Christ said, "That was my prayer. that God would be in us. Let's read it, verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those that you gave me, I have kept. None of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that is Judas Iscariot, that the scripture might be fulfilled. One thought recently, all the disciples, what are the names of the disciples? Peter, James, John, Bartholomew. What's interesting about all those names? They all have just one name. Why does Judas is the only disciple with a last name? His name is Judas Iscariot. He has first name and last name. And he's the one that's lost. I have an idea about it. When you live here in this world, you have a small world. Judas Iscariot, that's all he had. He had his name. But we don't have our name. We have our name plus the big guy here. Hallelujah. Huh? We have our name plus, listen, Jeremiah 15:16. Thy word was found, and I ate it. And it was the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God. This is, you can say, you know, Judas was the only one from Judea, the only one with a last name. You could say he had respect. He had education. You could say he was the most dignified of the 12, but he was also the one that was lost. You can gain this whole world and be lost. You can be a head doctor of chemistry or biology or research or a CEO or 500 company. It's all dust. If your name isn't connected with the name of God, and it will not be unless I put my trust in him. I must be born again. I must come to Christ by faith. And the gospel of Christ must be preached in the world. Because this is reality in this chapter. Look at verse 13. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Tears, yes, but joy, my joy. Where? From the house, the full house, my joy. Have you ever gone somewhere and paid money and did everything you could have to have a good time, but if you were honest with yourself, you didn't have a good time? Has that ever happened to you? That you made every effort to have a good time and it just was a disaster? It's happened to me. Contrarily, I have found in my walk of faith, without planning anything, actually, in the very hand of incredible joy. Sitting at a little card table in Russia, having a roast of chicken for Thanksgiving, and pretending it is a feast. And there's a lot of people there, and we got one little roasted chicken. But oh, we sang to Jesus. We love Jesus. Oh, we are on a mission. We are on a mission in faith. Has it happened to you that the Holy Spirit has surprised you with joy? Has it happened to you that the Holy Spirit has surprised you with like opening your eyes and saying, God is here. Awesome. God is here. I'm okay because God is here. Yeah, but don't you remember and don't you know this and that detail and this pain and that problem? No, I am not conscious of it. God is here. God has given us his joy. Verse 14, I've given them your word, Jesus says to the Father in his prayer. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Some believers need to wake up that this world hates Christ, but we don't. We love him, but then it hates us, the spirit of it. We don't cooperate with them. They say, why don't you cooperate? You are so stubborn, narrow-minded, Bible-believing, fundamentalist, legalistic Christians. Oh, really? Are you sure? Would you like to come to my home and sit with my family? Would you like to be with me on a Friday night, on a Saturday morning? Would you like to talk? Let's talk with my friends. We can have a good talk. And are you really sure about what you're talking about? A tree is shown by its fruit. And if there is a Christian who is judgmental about other Christians, he must learn humility and be spirit-filled. Because it's very easy to criticize the brethren. And the devil is busy accusing them day and night. But we never accuse the brethren. Revelation 12, 11. We have our talks. But there is no accusation here in this prayer or in the whole house. Verse 15. I pray not that you would take them out of the world. Part of me would like to change that prayer. Have you ever had the thought, Lord, why wasn't it the day you saved me, poof, I'm gone, just my shoes are on the sidewalk. I got saved and bam, it's over, I'm gone, I'm out of the body. Have you ever thought that? Christ said, I pray, Father, you do not take them out. Leave them here. Keep them here. Sanctify them while they are here. Visit them while they are here. Make a table in the presence of their enemies. Speak to them when the world is shouting and cursing and Goliath is there, big Goliath, mocking the people of God. Let that be. The big giant is mocking the small little David. But that's our privilege, not to be taken out, but to be here. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not. Jesus, are you comparing us to you? We are not of the world, even as you are not of the world. You're kidding me. You are comparing us to you? That we're the same? That you are not of the world, and nor are we? Thank you, Lord. That's such an honor. And Christ says, I am not ashamed to call them my brethren. I remember in a state fair here in Timonium, Maryland, there was a little boy with no arms, and he had two legs, but he had no arms in his family, and they were at the fair, and they put him on the shelf where you throw balls to knock down dolls, and the family is around him, and they put a ball in his foot, and by his foot, he throws the ball to knock down a doll. And all the family is there, and they're just having a great time. And I thought of this verse. Lord, you're not ashamed to call me your brother. You're not ashamed of me. I'm your brother. You are with me. You'll never back off. You'll never cower. You'll never be ashamed of me before your presence. We are the church. We have dignity and honor from God. Even though we get all dirty and are disabled and dysfunctional and we have our stuff that happens, but please live in the whole house. Get beyond your little petty things and get a hold of grace. I read a man has emotional problems primarily because of two reasons. He doesn't understand God's grace, and then secondly, he doesn't give it out. We are to understand this grace of God, like we have on our diagram. God is doing this. God has saved us. God is sanctifying us. God is keeping us, and God has united us. Here we are at our convention. Who has united us from all these parts of the world? God has united us. Who has united us through the decades? God has united us through the decades. This is his prayer. Okay, go to the next verse 17. Sanctify them through your truth. Thy word is truth. Because of time, I'll just read it. As you have sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Thank you, Lord. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through this truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word at 6025 Moravia Park Drive. In the 21st century, I pray not only for these in the first century, but all through the century, that they all may be one. Here's the unity part. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Then the last word, then the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Wow. They may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Really, Jesus, do you want us to be where you are? Yes. Yes. I want you there more than anything. Yes. Where I am, that's where you are to be. Yes. That they may behold my glory that you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. Do you know we can hardly understand these words? Do you know that we hardly get to the bottom of the lowest part? What is he saying? I mean, this is incredible. Feast on it. Read it. Think about it. This is high. This is amazing. Verse 24. Father, I will that thou also, they also whom thou you have given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me from, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. I like that part. Father, I have known you, and these know you sent me. It's almost like a downgrade. Like, I know you, Father, and these, they're not, you know, they only can believe that you sent me. But how much they know you, we're really in kindergarten right now. How much do they really know you? But that's enough that they believe that you sent me. And I have declared unto them your name, and I will declare it. That the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? If you are here today and you do not know Jesus, this is the day for you. If you are here today and you are curious or thinking or the Spirit has said to you in your heart, today is the day to believe. Today is the day to take the step. Today is the day to say, I need you, Jesus. We all could say, I don't deserve it. But Jesus saying, I made it possible. Believe in me. Say, Jesus, I believe in you. Say it in your heart to God and God alone. Say, Jesus, I believe in you. And then for the ushers to just give you a booklet, just put up your hand. Say, yes, I said that prayer. I want Jesus in my life. Anyone at all, yes to Jesus. Yes to him. And keep coming back here. Come back to the church. Listen to the message. You might say, Pastor, how is it practical? And the answer is, it is the most practical thing in all the world to believe and trust in God. He will change your life. He will answer your prayer. He will protect you in your life. He will teach you and put words in your heart. He will fill you with the Holy Spirit. He will deliver you from your bad habits. He will remove guilt out of your soul. He will open to you channels of thinking that you've never had before. God is real. God cares about you. Believe and trust in him. And as a believer, walk in faith. Be committed to the local assembly such as this one here today. Come, just like eating food, I have no option. I must, if I live, I must eat. And if I'm a Christian, I must be fed. In Jesus' name, amen.